Hey, KU football fans, welcome to another episode of the Spodcasters. I'm Benton Smith, and I'm joined by the industrious Matt Tate
of welcome.
KUSports.com.
Welcome, Matt. Great to have you here.
Wait, you're welcoming yourself?
Oh, I probably shouldn't do that.
You're all confused because a lot of times you intro these things.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Right, like right. that.
Welcome, Matt.
There you see how that works, too? It's a welcome, Matt. I like it. No, I'm excited to be doing a podcast. It's been kind of a crazy busy week, a lot going on, but it is football time. Make no mistake about it.
Yeah, I mean, Saturday is the opener. KU is playing Rhode Island. KU is going to win a football game. That's something for football fans at KU to get excited about. You can go watch your team win and win handily.
Thanks for listening to this episode. No, I agree. I absolutely agree. They are going to win a game. It's not going to be one that leads SportsCenter. It's not going to be one that scares anybody in the Big 12. But who cares? I mean,
right.
People, it's just people are so down on this program when they're not winning, and it's so in vogue to be that way. And then here they're gonna open the season against a team that they should pound. And now already, before it's even happened, people are sort of saying, it doesn't really mean anything to me. No, it should mean everything. They've won 12 games in 6 years.
Right.
A win is huge news. It gets this group that's a new group with completely new goals, a completely new look. It gets them off on the right start. They got to go out and do it. And if they don't, this podcast a few days from now will be very different and have a very different tone. But I think this group is absolutely poised to go out and win convincingly, and I couldn't be happier for them. I mean, David Beatty deserves it. You could name 50 kids on this roster that
right.
deserve it at
yeah.
least.
Everybody who played last season.
Or the year before. Or
right.
the year before, right. Absolutely. So, I mean, I'm excited to see the atmosphere. I hope people come out. I think the weather's going to be great. It's going to be under the lights the weekend. There's just no reason not to get fired up. Go tailgate. Go have some fun and get into it. And then see what happens from there. If they lose to Ohio and they go 1-11, all right. You know, get back to dogging them. But right now, they're 0-0, and they've been working hard, and they have a winnable game on their plate. Just enjoy that while you can.
Yeah. So there's also the intrigue of you kind of have to be there to find out who KU's starting quarterback is.
Right.
I mean, I guess you could listen to the radio, too.
You
Brian Haney will tell you.
Brian Haney will tell you,
But it wouldn't
yeah.
be more fun to see it with your
Absolutely.
Own eyes?
Absolutely. Well,
experience that excitement?
Picture this. You go, the game's at 6, right?
Right.
And you go at... Let's say you go up there at 2:30. You've got a bag of bratwursts. You've got your favorite beverage, whether that's an alcoholic beverage or a Coca-Cola on ice or whatever it is. Maybe you just like water.
Right. Hydrate. Hydrate for the night.
You get up there around 3 o'clock. You tailgate for an hour or two. You have some fun with that. Obviously, throw the old football around with the kids. Try not to hit any cars. You know, run some routes. Have some fun. And then get in there as early as you can, maybe even 4:30, 5 o'clock, and then you start to look at how these guys look warming up. Is it going to be Ryan Willis? Is it going to be Montel Cozart? Can you tell by the bounce in their step? Can you tell by the zip on their throws? Can you tell at all? And maybe not. Ideally, you won't be able to tell, because what these guys have been telling us all week and all summer really is that you got to prepare as if you're the starter, no matter if you are or not. So maybe you can't tell, and that would be a credit to these guys if you can't. But I think that sounds like fun. I know that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up there as early as I can and just see if I can't figure it out before we see the first snap and before we see a guy throw his helmet on when KU's offense is about to take the field. I think that'll be cool, and I do think there's a lot of intrigue around it. It's easy to make fun of. I'll give you that. I mean, it just is. You know, this not very many programs go this far without knowing who their quarterback is, and so that's another one of those pile on KU football moments. But I think it's genuine. I think it's real. I think this has truly been a heck of a competition, and I don't think there's any posing going on here. I think you could probably flip a coin and give it to either guy,
or you could play rock paper scissors.
You could do that. You could
yeah,
do that.
Beatty mentioned this week that for some drills at practices, that's kind of how they actually do decide. You know,
right?
Montel Cozart versus Ryan Willis or Carter Stanley or whatever combination. You know, let's play rock, paper, scissors. Whoever wins gets to go out and start this drill.
And let's clarify that, because I know there's been a lot of, that's an easy pile on punching bag thing, too. David Beatty is not deciding his quarterback for the season based on rock, paper, scissors.
Right.
As much as that would fit his personality and the old boy Texas accent and all that, he's not doing that. He's simply doing that to decide who starts a drill. And, but once one guy starts a drill, the other guy goes. You know, and then they get equal reps. And it's not anything that people have made it out to be as far as, well, he didn't know, golly gee. Right. So rock, paper, scissors, 2 out of 3, winner gets to be our quarterback. It's not that at all.
Right, and Montel Cozart talked about that earlier this week. He's like, you know, it's just a little moment where you kind of take a break from the seriousness of what you're doing at practice and have a little bit of fun, and then you get right back to work.
Sure, and hey, there's an edge to it, too. I mean, Cozart said he's about 75%, right? And usually throws paper, so Willis has got to get a little quicker with his reads on that. But either way, I mean, you know, it has nothing to do with football, but confidence, you know. Maybe Montel likes to start, and so he feels good out of the gate. Once he wins that rock, paper, scissors, once that paper covers rock, he gets to feel good about starting the drill, and maybe he does well. I don't know. I'm excited to see who it is. I think both will probably play. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree 100%.
Maybe all three.
I was getting ready to say, since David Beatty threw the curveball this week of claiming that Carter Stanley is also in the mix to start. I feel like that's more of a product of, all right, Beatty has to put out this depth chart. He appreciates what Carter Stanley has done at camp, and he just wants to kind of reward the guy, and that's his way of doing it.
Right.
I can't imagine that it'll actually be Carter Stanley to start the
game. Well, I think that depth chart is full of that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, exactly. There were a lot of, like, when you look up and down at offensive line, receiver, what have you, the seniors tend to be at the top. Yep. Yep. And I mean, I think that's him just showing appreciation for the guys who've been around here and endured and, you know, actually done what he's asked them to do since he took over as head coach.
And setting examples and leading the young guys and all that. Look, there's the most glaring one to me was at cornerback.
Right.
Where Colin Spencer was listed behind Stewart, maybe. Is it behind Stewart or Ogletree?
Let's see.
Colin Spencer.
Ogletree, yeah.
Second string behind Ogletree.
Yeah.
No chance. No chance. If Ogletree is winded or gets hurt or what have you, you're going to see Mike Lee or Kyle Mayberry as the first one in.
Yeah.
So that's nothing against Colin Spencer, who's turned himself into a heck of a special teams player and done nothing but work his butt off since he's been here.
Good coverage guy on special teams.
Right, right. Yeah, fast as all get out and physical and, you know, all that. But he's not one of the four best corners on this team.
Right.
So, wow, edit that out.
Take a T.O.
So the point is that it is exactly that. It's a reward for, you know, paying your dues, toeing the line, doing what you've been asked. And, you know, he may play some. And ideally, they'll be up big enough in the third and fourth quarter that everybody gets a chance to play. But there are spots all over that initial depth chart where it's just not right. And hey, nobody's wrong for doing that. It's David Beatty's program.
It's his prerogative. Choice. Yeah. Back to the quarterback really quickly.
Yeah.
Do you think there will be a clear starter on Saturday night? The closer we get to this, the more I feel like they're just going to play two quarterbacks.
Yeah. Like great question.
Like maybe whether it's Cozart or Willis to start the game, maybe that guy plays two possessions and then they go to the next guy and he plays two possessions and they go back. I don't know. I feel like you would have named a starter if you had a guy that you absolutely were going with.
I like that read. I'll tell you why, because I think it is a close race.
And I
think they're the one piece that these guys have not been able to evaluate yet is how these guys look in a game.
Right, and that's always been the thing with Cozart. You always hear about how great he looks at practice, but we all know, like, over the past few years he's had his struggles in games.
Right, right. Oh, there's no doubt. And even though Ryan Willis has played in 8 games, what Ryan Willis did last year can only be actually used for this season maybe 20-30%, because number one, he was getting killed every time he went back to throw. The kid got beat up last year. Number two, he was throwing to, you know, guys, young guys that had no idea what they were doing still and trying to figure it all out and doing it on the fly and doing it in the Big 12, you know, all that stuff. So I think there's something to what you just said, and I think people would dog that too.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no problem with it. This is an opponent that you should crush, and an opportunity then to evaluate guys in a game atmosphere, and maybe they're not playing the Big 12 teams of the world, but it's still an opponent that's trying to confuse you and disguise things and knock your head off and all that. And if you can do two possessions on, two possessions off, a quarter on, a quarter off, whatever right. you want to do, I think then it gives Beatty and his offensive staff a chance to say, okay, now we really have an evaluation. We've seen what these guys do in drills. We've seen what they do in the locker room. We've seen what they do in scrimmages. Now we've seen what they do in games this year as of today. Forget mm-hmm. last year. None of that matters now. So if that's the case, then you make an evaluation. And I think if we don't know next Tuesday who the quarterback is on this yeah. team, then you got a real problem. But I would think this week is about that. And, right. and obviously you got to win. So if it's going rough and you know – you're tied in the fourth quarter, you're going to go with the guy you believe in no matter what. You know, mm-hmm. you're not going to keep rotating. You got to go get the win. But I think the goal is probably to be up enough and to establish control early, maybe immediately, to where you can actually use this game as more of an evaluation tool than an end-all, be-all, must-win type of game.
Yeah, and
which it is.
Yeah, you have to win this game. You better not lose this game.
Right, right.
I think Beatty took some criticism this week for kind of playing that card of, like, we want to keep it a mystery
yeah.
and have that as a strategic advantage for Rhode Island.
Yeah.
And the criticism came because Rhode Island, they obviously should beat and beat easily.
Right.
I wonder if, like, how much of this is also geared toward next week. Ohio is a game that is not an automatic
right.
win. If you play two quarterbacks and rotate them back and forth this week, maybe Ohio doesn't know who they need to game
darn
for
right.
a week from now.
Yeah, that's a great call. And then and for that reason there, you might not announce it on Tuesday.
Yeah.
You're right. So, I think when you're Kansas and you play in the Big 12 and you know you're going to be double-digit underdog most games in the Big 12, if not all, you got to take the shots and every advantage you got against these teams that you can beat. And Rhode Island, you can beat. It's at home especially. Ohio, you can beat. It is at home as well. Memphis, you probably can beat too. I mean, you got a much better shot of beating Memphis than you do anybody else in the Big 12.
Right.
So,
right.
Probably. I mean, maybe Iowa State, but
yeah, we'll see.
I hate when people
yeah.
say that because Iowa
assume.
State's kind of owned KU the last 6 years. You know, one
right.
win in there. So,
yeah.
I think that's a great call. And I think... coaches have done that for years at all levels, and I don't see the criticism in that. I mean, you know, would I like to know as a reporter? Would you
right.
like to know as the beat writer? Heck yes, you would. It's easier. You know how to cover the team. You know what you're looking for. You can break it down and preview it and all that stuff. But they don't owe us anything, you know, as much as I tend to think they do sometimes. you know, they are entitled to do whatever they have to do to win games. And ultimately, if they do that, everything else is going to be gravy. You know, the fans are going to be excited. The coverage is going to be there. I mean, all that stuff falls into place after that. So that's a really good call. Let's say it is a dual thing. Let's say they go with both.
Right.
Who's the first one out there? Who do you expect is the first one out there, even if they do rotate a couple of series at a time or a quarter at a time?
God, I mean, I honestly don't even have a good feel for it.
I know.
Just because it seems to have fluctuated so much in the offseason and
right.
in this month, too. And we also don't see a lot of them actively playing at practices either.
Right.
So, well, I mean, I don't have like a... If I had seen both of them practice this week, I might have a better idea.
Yeah.
But I guess I would lean toward Willis just because I've thought all along that Willis would end up being
yeah.
the starter.
Yeah.
So that would be my guess. But I also would not be surprised at all if it's Cozart.
I have... I was asked this on Twitter... last night, and my answer there was if I had to bet money on it, I'd bet on Willis, kind of like you just said.
Right.
But I have a strange feeling that it will be Montel.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because I think if Willis had won this job, it would be over by now.
Right.
But the fact that he hasn't, doesn't that make sense, right?
Yeah.
but the fact that he hasn't tells you that Montel Cozart has done enough to stay right there, and David Beatty has not been shy at all about expressing what a huge Montel Cozart fan he is for all the other reasons, leadership, quality person, academics, teammate, all those things. If it's close, maybe that wins. I mean, this is a guy that was voted captain yet again.
Yeah.
Is that the coin flip? Is that the tipping point? If all things are equal and this race between who starts and who doesn't is exactly a dead heat, doesn't the guy who gets voted captain get the start? I mean,
that's a good point.
You know, so I would bet Willis. You're feeling Willis because you have felt that the whole time. And then I think if Willis didn't get hurt in the spring,
right,
he probably would have run away with this thing by now.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I keep thinking there's something there, something to the Montel Cozart saga, the book, the final chapter, which isn't even the final chapter because he'll be around next year too.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. And I also am a big fan of Montel's, and I like the kid so much. I would love to see something good happen for him. But maybe this isn't the game to worry about that. I think your point about playing them both is really valid. And I think if they both play, let's say there's, you know, 14 possessions through three quarters and
right,
they both play seven of them, I think if they're up 40-10 or something, I think you could see Carter Stanley in the fourth quarter.
As long as they take care of business, I absolutely expect to see Carter Stanley in the fourth quarter. And I'm excited to see that because he obviously has yet to play a game for KU after redshirting last year.
And there's a lot of intrigue there. What wonder and kind of what's this guy all about? We've heard a lot, but mm-hmm, what does he look like?
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I think that's... You know, there's a lot of excitement, there's a lot of hype, there's a lot of reasons to get excited for the opener. This just takes it to another level.
Yeah.
Because
getting away from the quarterback real quickly, and we can end on this. What other position or what other player are you most interested to see make his debut on Saturday night?
Debut. Good question. Okay. That takes it back, because I was going to say Joe Dineen by just knee-jerk reaction, because I have such an enormous amount of respect for Joe Dineen and the kind of player he is, the kid that he is. He, I didn't think I could enjoy watching somebody play football as much as I enjoyed Ben Heaney,
mm-hmm,
and it's close with Joe. He's got a ways to go. He's not a draft pick yet.
Right.
He's not Ben Heaney yet, but he is following in those footsteps as well as anyone could possibly be expected to. And he just plays the game with that relentless attitude and with the smile. And I think that's what's cool. So
I should have said season debut.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't have to be a true freshman or a transfer or anything. So it could be Dineen.
Sure. I'm like everybody else, I'm excited to see Quiv, mm-hmm, Gonzalez. I think he's been hyped up, and I think there's a lot of pressure on him, and I think he doesn't even care.
No, you know? He doesn't.
Right. So that's the cool part. I mean, this guy, usually in a time and under a head coach that has done everything he can to keep from, you know, blowing things out of proportion and blowing guys up and hyping guys up, I think Quiv has been hyped up a ton.
Right.
more than a lot of guys, you know, in the past even. I think it's cool because he doesn't seem to be one bit bothered by that, and I think he will live up to it. I think they will get him the ball 1,000 times. I think they will snap it to him. I think they will throw it to him on reverses. I think he'll run routes. I think he'll run as a running back. I mean, you know, there's just going to be so many ways he touches the ball. So I'm excited to see if I'm right on that, you know, if everything we've heard is accurate. Are they really good? Or does he get four touches and he has 37 yards and then we're all like, what the heck was that? You know, so it's not just the good. There's also that, oh, gosh. The two corners we mentioned, too, Lee and Mayberry, I'm ecstatic to see what they can do. One's a four-star guy from New Orleans, a ton of talent, ton of raw talent. The other is Mayberry's a polished guy who has a ton of confidence, believes in himself, and believes he – you know, can play at this level already. I want to see because that's a big, big position for this program in this conference. and on this team. So I'm excited about all those names. How about you?
Yeah, I think those are the three that jump out more than anybody else, just because of that potential and what it could mean, especially in the secondary, where KU had zero depth last year.
Right.
And at one point in the season had to move Derek Neal from receiver to cornerback to kind of just
survive.
patch something together. And he's actually become a very serviceable defensive back to his credit since then. But I think another guy we should be interested in watching is Hakeem Adeniji.
Yeah.
The true freshman offensive lineman from David Beatty's old stomping grounds of Garland,
Texas.
There you
go, right.
That's obviously a guy that's probably tougher to watch as a fan just because you want to follow the ball and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think if you don't notice him and he plays a lot, that's always a good sign.
Yeah, well, and that's the whole
That's what they always say about linemen. You only notice them when they make a mistake.
Right, and it's worth watching. I mean, you know, get into it, get excited, but spend a couple of series in the second quarter and just watch the O-line, because that, to me, is the biggest key for this team.
Right.
If they can hold up, and my God, they've got to be able to hold up in this matchup. I mean, if they're getting blown back, then 1-11, 0-12, whatever. It could be possible. But if they look good, they work in unison, they look physical, they look conditioned, I think that's something that anybody should keep an eye on, just because it's such an important part of what this team can do.
And then on the other side of the ball, I'm interested to see Daniel Wise and Dorrance Armstrong.
Yeah, there you go.
Both of those guys had really good off seasons. The coaches and their teammates are raving about how much better they've gotten, and they both had pretty good debut seasons last year. So,
yeah.
I mean, KU definitely needs all the help it can get, and if they actually have more of a pass rush established, if they're actually stopping the run better at the line of scrimmage, that's just going to make things easier for the defense, for Marquise and Joe, and then the secondary.
Yeah, wouldn't it be cool if Gonzalez goes off, has a couple of touchdowns, a bunch of yards, a bunch of catches, if Dorrance Armstrong dominates from the DN spot, has a couple of sacks, maybe even more, and just has that energy, that juice, that bounce to him. You know that's the perfect formula for this program. What's the result? What's your prediction? Are you willing to put one on paper?
On audio. Sorry. I will put it on audio now.
Good man.
I was thinking about this earlier, and I don't know. I've just seen enough KU football in the past couple of years that I can't go crazy with the point total.
Right.
So I'm going to limit it to 45.
Fair.
Okay.
Fair.
And
there's a field goal in there.
There is.
There's a field goal
Six
in there. We don't know who kicks
goal.
It.
I bet Wyman bangs one.
All right.
From like 35 to 40.
All right,
points.
Good.
And then I will say Rhode Island manages 10 points.
45 to 10?
Yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot. I got 42 to 7. Very similar. I think it could be higher.
It has potential to be, for sure.
If you think about it, so 56, right? That's two touchdowns a quarter.
Yeah,
that's not that hard. I mean, it is for KU, but it shouldn't be in this game, and it shouldn't be against this opponent. Especially if the defense could score once somehow, you know. I mean, but again, you said 45, I said 42, so nobody's expecting 56. But that kind of shows you what's possible. And then the 7, I think this defense is 10. You got 10. That's about the same thing.
Right.
I think this defense is significantly better than anybody realizes.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're a couple of cornerbacks, real good cornerbacks, away from being a really good defense. I think the D-line is good. I think the linebackers are really good. I think the safeties are good. If they have corners, and I think Brandon Stewart can play. We'll see how he looks.
Yep.
Those freshmen we already talked about. If they find a couple of guys that can play, I think they could be really good. And I think this is the game they have to show that. They cannot let this team score 20 points.
No.
If they do that,
they would be extremely disappointed if that happens.
Yeah, and you know, you're talking 7, 3, 10, 0. I mean, those are decent totals, and the 0 would be something.
Yeah.
It's not easy to shut anybody out. So, so similar scores, I think that's great. I think you're absolutely on the right track. I think give or take a few points for either of us, we see it the same way.
Right,
so
right.
It should be fun. I'm excited that football's here. It came fast and furious. It's hard to believe, but I'm happy for these guys to have this opportunity. in one game to put last year behind them. Nobody's going to forget that they were 0-12. But if they're 1-0, that won't matter ever again.
Right.
You know,
right.
It just won't.
Totally.
Yeah, it just won't. And like I said, it'll always be part of the records. They're the second team that's ever done that in KU history. It's ugly, you know. But this is a totally different group with new players, new faces, new coaches. It's about looking forward. So if these guys do roll to a convincing win and get a chance to start off 1-0, I think they should celebrate like crazy and have a lot of fun and bring yourselves down to the field and have some fun and high five these guys. Just stay away from the goalposts. That's it. Nobody needs that.
I read that somewhere.
It's just not protect the posts. I didn't go as far as a hashtag.
I was gonna say hashtag protect the posts.
But it just can't happen. It just can't happen. People say, well, what about the fun? Let them have fun. You can have fun so many other ways. You know, go play some football, whatever. I mean, you don't have to rip down goalposts to have fun. And I know that makes me sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but I just don't get it. I think it's a bad look for the program. I think it embarrasses everybody. It embarrasses KU. It embarrasses the coaches. It embarrasses Rhode Island. I mean, no need for it. So enjoy the game. High-five some players on your way out of the stadium and then go do what you would do on a Saturday night when you're in college. It's not that hard to do.
Watch the game, have some fun, and enjoy your Labor Day because there KU is going to be 1-0.
Simple as that. Good stuff.
All right. That's it for this edition of the Spodcasters. I'm Benton Smith. Thanks to Matt Tate for joining us.
Goodbye, Matt.
Goodbye, Matt.
All right. Good stuff. Enjoy the weekend, everyone.